This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Tumbleweeds rolling? Must be a Western. The cinematic signal of High Plains desolation has an even more pernicious side. It's an invasive species known as Russian thistle, and it's wreaking havoc across the United States. George Johnson is a science writer based in Santa Fe and a regular contributor to National Geographic, where he wrote about fighting the tumbleweed menace in his own backyard. The article is called "The Weed That Won the West." And George, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
So, Russian thistle, the tumbleweed we see rolling around in Westerns, why should we be worried about this seemingly innocuous, dead-looking plant?
Well, it's just invasive. It takes over any place where you have disturbed soil or just, neglected roadways or vacant lots. I mean, they're everywhere out here. And as verified by the U.S. Department of Agriculture's plant database, Russian thistle is growing in every state of the United States except Florida and Alaska.
I guess what we read in your chronicle of the battle is that it's pretty difficult to kill these.
Oh, they're evil, unkillable. They're just horrible. They're like some alien invasion. And it's so funny because, this is the iconic view of the American West, the tumbleweed, loping across the road. And then it turns out it's an invasive species from Siberia.
How did it get here to the United States?
Oh, it's probably a few seeds on a Ukrainian immigrant sock. basically what they think they know is sometime in the late 19th century in South Dakota, there were some Ukrainian farmers who imported some flaxseed grain from the home country, and they believed that that was contaminated with some Russian thistle seeds, and this is where it got its start. So that was ground zero, and before long it was spreading to the adjacent states and pretty much the full West, and it had reached California and then headed east, and it's everywhere.
What is it about the plant that makes it difficult to kill and quick to spread?
Well, you imagine this plant evolved in Siberia, so it's one of the harshest places on Earth where anything could grow. So it comes to, any place else, and it's like, retiring to Florida. So it's just, it thrives, and it's been streamlined by evolution so that most of its energy goes into producing seeds and thorns to protect them and stalks that curve over. So when the plant dies every year and the wind hits it, it rolls in a ball for miles and miles, spreading its seeds.
Uh-huh. So it's just throwing off seed as it's loping along, huh?
Oh, as many as 250,000 seeds for a large tumbleweed. They can be, the size of a Volkswagen bug.
So, George, this pernicious weed, you became pretty invested, may I even say a little obsessed, with killing Russian thistle on your own property.
Totally obsessed.
Sounded like you started to go a little nutty.
it was a few years ago, and my wife at the time, no longer married, but we bought a couple of acres west of Santa Fe for her to keep her horses. And we noticed when we bought it, a few tumbleweed skeletons lying around, but you can't avoid that. They're everywhere. And, we figured, well, of course you're going to have tumbleweeds if you buy land in the West. And then the spring came and they started sprouting everywhere, thousands, tens of thousands of these. They start out looking very pretty. They're these little blue-green kind of star-like plants. And then by that time, I'd already fought enough of them back at the house in Santa Fe that I knew what they looked like. And I just thought, oh, here it comes. And so they come in waves. And the best thing you can do is to try to kill them before they get big enough to set seed.
So they certainly sound troublesome, but you know that they're dangerous. What's the danger of the tumbleweed?
Well, one of the things is fire hazards. They clump up against fences or in irrigation ditches, and all it takes is a cigarette thrown out of a car, and they can just, they burn with a great ferocity because there's so much air in them. Once they're dead and they're these skeletons, there's huge amounts of air, so it's more air between the branches than plant material, so they just explode into flames.
So you are one man fighting the menace. How about on the state or municipal level, are state governments doing something about trying to stop it?
Mostly, I think people have kind of given up. You have to learn to live with it at some point. I mean, municipal governments will clean out you know, irrigation channels and places where they've piled up. And the funny thing is you'll see them going out there and mowing down all these weeds after they've already gone to seed. So, you know, it's a hopeless Sisyphean task.
And I guess some towns actually use them as tourist attractions.
You know, I couldn't believe it. Even my own hometown, Albuquerque, every winter now they put up a giant tumbleweed snowman that looms menacingly over the interstate. And I just got an email from a reader down there that said, well, the tumbleweed snowman is back again. So I don't know. To me, that's kind of sick to celebrate these things, but maybe it's healthy just to acquiesce to the inevitable.
So your house, George, is the one on the block under the plastic bubble now?
No, actually, it was a matter of just planting other things, you know, like grama grass and things that grow well in dry climates. And it's a great philosophical question about a weed. Is a weed, you know, is there something inherent about weediness, or is it in the eye of the beholder?
I'd love to hear you go even further with that idea about weeds, because your research about weeds worked its way into your latest book, and it's called The Cancer Chronicles. And this is about your wife's, your then-wife's battle against uterine cancer. I'm curious how you bridge those two things.
Yes, it was the time when we bought this land, it was several years after she'd been diagnosed with a stage 4 metastatic cancer. And it was one, she was very, you know, the survival rates were just frighteningly low, but she survived it. And we bought this land for horses, and as I was out there fighting the weeds, I just kept thinking that, you know, if weeds is a metaphor for cancer, you know, in a cancer, a cell will suddenly start evolving on its own, and it'll outcompete the other cells in the body, and it'll grow into this kind of quasi-creature, you know, outcompeting the healthy cells and just thriving inside the ecosystem of your body, but, of course, to its great detriment. And that seemed, you know, very much to my metaphorical mind, like tumbleweeds. And another metaphor struck me when I was using these herbicides. You know, I'm very careful when using these things, and I look up and see how they work. And there's this herbicide called triclopyr, and I thought of it as chemotherapy, killing the cancer. But, you know, it just, I mean, of course, cancer was just really obsessing me as much as weeds, and I was just starting to write the Cancer Chronicles and ended up using that as a metaphor in my book.
Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
George Johnson is a science writer based in Santa Fe. He wrote The Weed That Won the West about the tumbleweed invasion. It's in this month's National Geographic. You'll find a link to read it and see a slideshow of some of the fantastic photos that went with the article at wordofmouthradio.org, along with more information on George's book, The Cancer Chronicles, Unlocking Medicine's Deepest Mystery. It's all at wordofmouthradio.org. And we'll be back with more Word of Mouth after a break.